We're going to go to Romans 8, 28, and begin reading there through verse 31. And I'm going to use the NIV tonight. Some of these verses just read a little clearer and easier in the NIV. So I'm going to use that tonight. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? All these things that God has done, God will do. What do we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Anybody going through a battle tonight? Anybody facing opposition? Is there a trying of your faith right now? If there's not, just give it a few days. Some more than others. Anybody facing a great need, maybe dealing with an illness, anybody that maybe you've blown it and made some mistakes in your life. And I got a good word for you today. God is for us.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to try to get some help tonight. So some of you, you're not sitting close to anybody, so I want everybody to help me with this. All right, I want you to tell somebody, God is for you. Now, we miss some people. Somebody get up and go over to those people by themselves and tell them. We're going to keep, somebody tell them, God is for you. Did somebody tell you? God's for you? Did somebody tell you? Okay. Did we miss anybody? Heather, God is for you. I told her for the service tonight. Yeah, oh, thank you. Amen. Amen. God is for you. Now we're going to turn it around now and say it about ourselves, all right? God is for me. Say it. Oh, now this time before you say it, I want you to think about it. God is for me. He's for me. Now, you know, the scripture here says God is for us. And I want to make issue of that plural, okay? Because you need to understand, he's not just for everybody else or a certain special person. He's for you too. But at the same time, you also need to realize as a child of God, as much as he is for you, he's also for your brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes people kind of get puffed up in pride. I want to tell you something. There's nothing for us to be proud about. It is all by his grace. Nothing that we ourselves have done. It's just by the grace of God. But God is for us. And when he says, if God is for us, he says, if God is for us, he's not questioning whether or not God is for us. In fact, we read that. He says, what do we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And there's the question, who can be against us? Now, just right off, I got to say, well, lots of people can be against us. All kinds of things can be against us. And demons and all kinds of forces of darkness can be against us. And you need to understand that, yes, we have opposition. I mean, the guy that wrote this, the Apostle Paul, he was beaten and stoned, whipped again and again. People wanted to kill him. And he talks about the opposition that he faced over and over and over again. And yet he writes here, who can be against us? Because he's talking about that nobody will be able to stand against us. There'll be people that come against you, but you know what? It's temporary. There's going to be things that come against you. There's going to be attacks from Satan. It's temporary. You need to realize that if God is for you, nobody can be against you. Who can be against us? They may try, but they can't stand against us. All the battles and struggles, the disappointments of life, all kinds of needs, troubles. Sometimes we face sickness, we face heartaches, even tragedies. You know, the powers of darkness are at war against us. And you know what one of their main tactics is? One of the main weapons of Satan? It's terrorism. He wants to make you fearful. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to make you think that you're not going to win. He's a master deceiver. You need to know the truth that God is for you. He really is for you. The God of the universe, the one who spoke it all into being by the word of his power, that God, he's for you. How can you lose? If God is for us, who can be against us? You need to hear the word of the Lord tonight. Jeremiah 1:19 says, they will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. They'll fight. I mean, we've all read the back of the book. Surely Satan has read the back of the book. And yet he fights anyway. But they will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. You know, sometimes it seems like everything can be against you. Just, you face insurmountable odds, outnumbered, outpowered in the natural. Just remember, you and God make a majority. I mean, when God is for you, it doesn't matter how many are against you. The scripture tells us that the Old Testament was written to teach us, to illustrate to us spiritual truths. And here's one of those passages, Deuteronomy 20. I want to read 1-4. It says, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, don't be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, hear, O Israel, today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Amen. You see, he's the one that fights for us. Ours is a fight of faith. The Apostle Paul talks about it several times. It is a fight of faith. We trust, we believe God. That's where our power is. That's where our strength is. That's where our victory is. We start looking to our own selves and looking at the problems or the struggle, the opposition, and it'll undermine our faith. No, we got to keep our eyes on the Lord who fights for us. Amen. We need to know this. Right now, today, God is for us. And he wants the best for you. I really believe that the Lord has our best interest in mind. And he's working on our behalf. You know how I know that? Because verse 28, the one we started with, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know in all things, God works for our good. We don't understand that sometimes, but somehow, you see, there are things that, I'll just tell you the truth now, there are things that we're not going to know the answers to in this life. But he's working everything for our good. He's working. He's working. Jesus said, my Father works, and I work also. They're working. I'm glad God's not lazy. He's always working. And all the stuff that goes on, he's working on our behalf. Sometimes I feel like Murphy's laws apply to me. You know, everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong. Whichever grocery store line I get in, it's going to be the slow one. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? But the truth is God's laws apply to me. And we might face those times when it just seems like everything is going wrong. You know, just one struggle, one battle after another. That's when you need this truth. God is for me. And it's so important that we have that attitude. God is for me. Because our attitude towards God will determine whether or not we are able to trust Him, to live by faith, to believe His promises. You see, if we start getting negative, we start getting an attitude towards the Lord, or we just think, you know, we start buying into that lie that everything's against you, nothing's going ever going to turn around for you. We start buying into that. And I tell you, it gets us to the place where we're not really trusting and believing God. It's so important you know this. Our God is for us. He responds to faith. And so we always got to be in that place where we believe His word, where we believe His promises, where we trust Him. In spite of the opposition, in spite of the battles, I tell you, you see, we get that negative mindset and it just poisons everything. But the Bible makes this so clear. God is for us. And I want to encourage you to take hold of this. Child of God, child of God. This is who this is to. See, he talked about Jesus being the firstborn among many brethren. He talked about us being predestined to be the children of God. Listen, you're a child of God. This is for you. God is for you. You know, all of us who are parents, we all want the best for our kids. And we would do anything right, and we'll clarify, right for our kids. And, you know, you just need to realize, you think you love your kids. You know, Jesus says, if you them being evil, see, because apart from the grace of God, that's who we are. We're all born sinners. And he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? I'm just telling you, our heavenly Father, he wants to be good to his children, and he's for you. And what undermines that a lot of the time is people getting to the place where they don't really trust God. They don't really believe God. God makes these fantastic promises to us, and they just say, well, I don't know if that's for me. Oh yeah, God is for you and his promises are for you. But I do want to say this, you know what? When my kids were little, I didn't give them everything they wanted. We didn't have ice cream for breakfast very often. You know what I'm saying? They didn't get everything they wanted. But if it was within my means and my ability, I gave them everything that I felt like was good for them. And how much more will our Heavenly Father do the same for us? Amen. So people get disillusioned. They take a promise and they take it out of context and they abuse the scripture. And, you know, this is kind of a popular thing in our culture where people just pull a verse out of context and, you know, start running wild with it. And they get disillusioned eventually. But here's the thing. There's no good thing that God will withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing that he's going to withhold from you when you're serving the Lord and living for God. He's for us. He's already proven it. God is for us. How did he prove it? Let me just give you this. The cross. Jesus dying on the cross, paying the price to redeem us, to heal us, to give us peace. The cross is the ultimate evidence that God is for you. Who can stand against you? No demon, Satan can't, powers of hell can't, sickness can't, poverty can't. If God is for you, who can stand against you? See, nobody, nothing can stop the plan of God in your life except you. Amen. I really believe that. I read in the book of Job, in Job 42, when Job gets it right, he says to God, he says, no plan of yours can be stopped. You see, somehow in all of that crazy, terrible stuff that happened to Job, one thing we know for sure, God had a plan. Always, from beginning to end, God had a plan. And you know what? It all turned out good for Job in the end. He's for you. Even when you're going the wrong way, God's still for you. That doesn't mean he approves of when we're doing wrong. It doesn't mean he condones what we do necessarily, or, you know, I'm just going to tell you, you know, it's not that God is always on your side. There's a difference in God being for you and God being on your side. Because when you're wrong, God's not going to be on the side of wrong. But he's still for you. I mean, every parent knows this. When your kid is doing stupid, you're not glad they're doing stupid. You're not going to help them do stupid, right? But you're still for your kid, even when they're being stupid. Amen. I keep saying that word, and I know some of you, that's a dirty word. I'm sorry. Pray for me. Don't judge me. Don't make an accusation against a brother. We'll get to that. But anyway, but God is for you. And that doesn't mean he supports all your plans and ideas. It doesn't mean that he's going to do everything that you want. It doesn't mean he's always on your side, but I'm telling you, he's still for you. We just need to be on his side. Joshua 5:13-15, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand, and Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. He says, then Joshua fell down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. But you see, in this passage, we see that this angel of the Lord, this messenger says to Joshua, I'm not for either side. You can be on our side. You can be on God's side. And that's what we got to remember, is that sometimes we might be wrong, but God's still for us. And as a child of God, we need to trust him that he'll always come through for us. I do want to make this real clear. You see, when we're talking about sides, this happens a lot of times in the body of Christ. How many parents like it when your kids fight? My granddaddy, he had a different way of settling that. He had a couple of teenage boys that liked to fight. He sent them out in the backyard. He said, one of you come in and tell me who the better man was. The good old days, they say. But here's what I want to say to you. Our Heavenly Father doesn't like it when his kids fight. And he is never pleased when the children of God are going against one another. And he's not going to take your side. You got to be on his side. But I'm just telling you, we're not supposed to fight one another. That's doing the work of the enemy. You don't come against other believers. No, we do the best we can to live at peace with all men. That's what the Bible says. But you need to know this. We're on the same team, but that doesn't say it strong enough. we're in the same army. We're in the same family. We're in the same body, washed in the same blood. And he's for us. And his promises are for us. The next verse, we're going to continue in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:32. For he did not spare, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And this is such a fantastic promise from the scripture. And this is also one of those verses that people like to twist and use and abuse. He says, graciously give us all things. God, give me a new Mercedes. Amen. That's not what this verse means. But it does mean that he's going to give us everything we need for life and godliness. It means that he's going to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. It means that all of those fantastic promises, exceeding great and precious promises, they're for us. How will he not along with him, with his son, freely give us? If he gave Jesus for us, what would he hold back from us? Graciously give us all things. You know, that word graciously, it means that it's because of grace. It's not because we earned it. It's not because we deserve it, but it's because of grace. He graciously gives us all things. Psalm 84:11, I referred to this earlier, but here it is. Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. As some people, they get hung up on this. They just want God to give them stuff. And they think that somehow stuff will make them happy. But stuff makes a terrible God. And you know who knows that? The Lord. He knows you will never be happy because of stuff. But I'll tell you this, when you honor God and you don't let stuff have you, God will bless you. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So he'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. But he wants to bless us. And if God is for you, see, if you say God is for me, then you need to expect the blessings of God on your life. He wants things to go well for you. That doesn't mean you're not going to have battles. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a trying of your faith. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be great struggle sometime. Psalm 35:27 in NIV says, the Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of his servants. See, he likes it when you're doing well. In the New King James, it says it this way, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He delights in it. It gives him pleasure when his people are doing well, when they are successful. If God is for me, why am I having such a hard time? You just need to remember it's not over. You need to remember that God is working on your behalf and he'll bring you through to victory. You know, the story of Joseph is another Bible story that's so amazing because when God gives Joseph, this young man, these dreams about how he's going to be raised up in authority as a great leader. And then his brothers hated him so much. You think you got family problems. They hated him so much, they sold him as a slave. Was God still for him? Yeah. The Lord was with him, the Bible says. And he works as a slave in Potiphar's house. And the Lord blesses everything that he does. But then he's falsely accused. And he ends up being thrown into prison. Was God still for him? Yes. The Bible says very plainly that God was with him. And the Lord blessed him there in the prison. I mean, as much as you can be blessed in prison, I guess. And it was years. Most say it was about 12 years from the time he was sold in slavery until he finally got out of prison. And he went from the prison to the palace in one day. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh put him in that position of authority over all of Egypt. And because of Joseph, the people of God, as well as all of Egypt, were fed and survived a famine that would have wiped them out. And Joseph's brothers came for food also. And they were afraid that Joseph would have them put to death. But instead, Joseph says to them, he says, "Am I in the place of God?" And he says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Amen. And here's the thing. His brothers were against him, but it didn't stand. I'm just telling you, Joseph came out on the other side. And you see these stories again and again and again throughout the scripture where, yes, they had opposition. Yes, there were enemies. But when God is for you, you're going to come out on the other side. You're going to come out in victory. You need to remember, God is for me. And because he's for me, no accusation will stand against me. Romans 8:33, the next verse. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who's going to bring a charge against you? You need to remember that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Don't do his work. You just don't bring a charge against a brother or sister. You just don't do that. I'll tell you, it's amazing how the enemy manages to get Christians to do his bidding. Who will bring a charge against one of God's chosen? You see, it's him who justifies. And so we need to be very careful about that, because remember, it's God is for us, not just me, it's for my brother also. It reminds me, this story, or this passage, it reminds me of the woman caught in adultery as she's brought to Jesus, and they make this accusation against her. But Jesus, listen, he knew. He knew what she had done. He knew that she was supposed to be stoned under the law. But instead, he writes on the ground until all of the accusers, he says to them, "Let him who is without sin be the first to cast a stone." And all of the accusers go away. He says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" "There's none." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." We just need to remember this, that God is for you. When you blow it, now, everybody that's heard me preach very much, you know this. I'm not talking about it doesn't matter how you live, just, you know, sin whenever you want. That's a bunch of garbage. I tell you, people that live like that don't love Jesus. Amen. They're not sincere in their faith. They're not sincere in their relationship with God. Because if you love him, you want to obey him and you want to please him. But know this, when you blow it on your worst day, the thousandth time, he's for you. He's justified you. That's what it said. Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. He's for us. The next verse, verse 34, Romans 8. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You know, the same enemy that will try to set you up with temptation, will try to deceive you and get you to do something foolish. As soon as you do, then he's going to accuse you and condemn you. But Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. This verse tells us Jesus Christ is the one who is raised to life. He's at the right hand of God interceding for us. I'm so glad that when we sin, we still have an advocate with the Father who's always interceding for us. He's praying for us. You see, when we blow it, when we're not doing good, he's praying for us. 1 John 2:1-2, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. How amazing is that? Don't sin. But when we do, Jesus is making our defense before the Father. He's our advocate with the Father, the righteous one. He says in verse 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Have you ever wondered if you were going to make it? Struggling maybe in your faith, struggling with the battle, struggling with some sin, whatever it is, and wonder. He's praying for you. Oh, his prayers are powerful. Jesus told Peter, he didn't call him Peter, he called him Simon, because he was being a reed blowing in the wind. Luke 22:31-32, Jesus tells him, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. He denied Jesus 3 times. But when he turned back, he became a rock. He became Peter, that rock. And he strengthened his brothers. And God used him so mightily. What was the key here? He says, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you. But I've prayed for you. And the same one that prayed for Simon Peter, we read it in 1 John chapter 2, and we read it in Romans 8:34, that he is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Even when we fail. And because he's for us, we are more than conquerors. All these problems that come against us in this life, Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm convinced neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to be convinced. There's no power, there's no conflict, there's no situation, there's nothing that can separate you from his love. He's for you. Amen. You got to be convinced. Paul was. I'm convinced, he says. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever you're facing, he's for you. When you feel like a loser, he's still for you. You know, when your kid messes up, I mean, this may sound a little trite, but any decent parent, when their kid strikes out at the plate, they're just as much for their kid as when they hit a home run. And when your kid gets a little older and they do something foolish, you're just as much for them as when they did right. And God is just as much for you. Whatever's going on, whatever your battle, you're more than a conqueror in all these things because God is for you. So make your list. You know, I read this list here that he gives of trouble and hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Make your list. What's your list? List it out. In all these things, you're more than a conqueror. Why? Because God is for us. In all these things, no matter what it is, you're more than a conqueror through him who loved us. He's for us. Who shall oppose us? He's for us. Who shall accuse us? He's for us. Who's going to condemn us? He's for us. Who's going to conquer us? If God be for us, nobody can be against us. Absolutely nothing and no one. God is for us. He's for you. Your struggles at work, your struggles dealing with health issues, your struggles with finances, your struggles with your kids, your struggles in ministry. You see, whatever it is, you need to know God is for me. Even when it doesn't seem like, even when I don't feel it, even when I can't see how he's working, God's for me. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray.